the book of Mark, as we continue to walk through this book. We're probably going to take a little break for Easter. We're probably going to be going to the Old Testament to take a look at some of, like, Easter through the Old Testament. So we'll take a little bit of break. So if you're, like, tired of Mark, you're like, oh, my God, we're going to just take a little break. But, let's just get into it. Have you ever had something not go the way you planned? Did you ever have something that you thought was going to, what's that? Like the slide? Yep, you got it. It was totally intentional. Oh my gosh. I have some pictures I want to show you, so maybe you can like kind of relate. Like this person that went to driving school. That's amazing, by the way. Oh. Pass or fail? It will buff out. Don't worry. It's good. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. This is a good one. This trumpeter, or this person who played, sorry, this trombone player who ended up voice dictating to his wife all this. So he obviously had this wonderful going on. And then like the voice detect picked up his trombone. That's what all that womp, 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 womp. That's amazing. That is so good. It's like Charlie Brown's parents all right here. Look at that. That's amazing. Good. Okay. Like this beautiful engagement photo. That's amazing. Totally photobombed by the dog. It's so good, right? Like, I gotta go. By the way, we gotta go back real quick. Because, like, it looks so good. It looks, and now you can't unsee it. it's ruined. You ruined it, dude. So, all right. I saw a headline this week. This one didn't go as planned. It was from Atlanta, Georgia. A guy turned himself in for his own criminal reward. So he showed up at the police precinct hoping to collect his own reward that was out for him. That did not go the way he planned. They arrested him, believe it or not. Okay, final one. This poor pooch. These poor dogs, man. Where are my dog people here? Dog people. Yeah, these poor pooches. This poor dog. That did not go. that did not go the way it was. That's so awesome. Okay, so like you can all relate. We've all had things happen to us. Oh, that's so good. Those darn hammocks, you know? Darn. So we've all had things happen to us that we thought was a really good idea at first, or we had something planned at first, and then there's something that comes up, and we kind of go a different direction. Or something comes up, and it changes the outcome altogether. Whether it's driving into your driving school, or whether it's that poor pooch jumping onto a hammock. I think we can all relate to this. And so as we continue our study of the book of Mark, we're going to see how one day in the life of Jesus, something did not go according to schedule. So as we kind of walk through here, I want you to kind of walk with me. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 30, starting in verse 30. This is an amazing story of the feeding of the 5,000 plus. So Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Make sure I have it here. Okay, let's get into it. I'll have it up on the screen. You are welcome to follow along in your Bible as well. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend half that much on half that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So that they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the fish among all of them, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. That is amazing. So let's just kind of recap. The disciples are coming back from being sent. So Jesus is having his ministry in the northern part of Israel, specifically around the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. His home base was Capernaum. At that point, he sent out his disciples to go to preach, and that's when he said, if they reject you, kind of shake off the dust from your feet. And then we get that narrative of last week of Herod. It's kind of like in the middle of nowhere after we talk about John the Baptist. But then we pick up the story. The disciples come back and begin to report all that they had done, right? So they gave him this great testimony. This is what was going on. It's great. Like, Jesus, we want to tell you. Like, they're coming back. Like, Jesus, we want to tell you. This is so great. Oh, man, we can't. But there was an issue. There were so many people coming and going. There was just a crowd of people. They couldn't even get a chance to talk to Jesus, and they couldn't even sit down and get something to eat together. And so Jesus has this plan. Come with me by yourselves, and we'll go rest in a quiet place. That was the plan. The plan was that they would go away, and the disciples would sit there and be like, oh, my God, Jesus, it was so great and so awesome. We did such a good job, right? That was what the plan was, but it's going to get sidetracked a little bit. By the way, I love this invitation from Jesus, by the way. Go back there real quick. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place so that we can rest. I love the fact that Jesus, like, calls these guys who had just, like, done his work. They've been out there. And when Jesus sees them, he says, I've been longing for a chance just to get some time with you. That's beautiful. Isn't that a beautiful notion that God, Jesus, is, like, just waiting for you to come to him and spend some just quality time with him? I haven't seen you in a while. I haven't heard from you in a while. The first thing he wants to do, let's get away. Let's spend some time together. I just a side note. I think that's great. All right. Continuing. So when they went away, they got into a boat, and what they see is that the people, there were so many of them that they're actually getting ahead of them. So if you notice this passage, the original plan was they would get in this boat and go to this solitary place. There's a word here that changes everything. There's a transition here. Does anybody see what that word is? Yeah, right? It's a what? It's a but. So what is this? That's a big but of the Bible. That's exactly what that is, right? Because it changes. Here's what's the plan, but, right? It was supposed to go, oh, no, 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 Jesus, look, we were supposed to have this time together, right? But life happened. Isn't it amazing that even to Jesus, life happened? Like, he was fully God, but he's also fully man. So he had this great plan, hey, this is what we're going to do, but then life shows up. You have these great expectations. You have these great plans. It's going to be great. We're going to sit. We're going to talk. You're going to tell me all you did. But life gets in the way. Did you ever have, like, something? Did life ever just get in the way of whatever it is that your great plans, right? There's looks going on right here. Like, did life just ever just, you're like, oh, this isn't the way it was supposed to be. And then you're handed a completely different scenario or something changes and it just went not the way that you were expecting it. Mark records that they're trying to get some privacy, but their plans are sidetracked. It did not go the way they wanted. How frustrating is that? Ugh! No, it's supposed to be like this. I put time and money and effort into this. Oh, my God. This was supposed to be our time. This was supposed to be my time alone with them. This was, or whatever, listen, whatever it might be in your world, right? No, I had these great plans. We were going to use that money for this, or, oh my gosh, like, I can't get that time back, like, whatever it is that you are, like, right? here we are, right? And life happens, right? I had this great plan, and then I jumped on the hammock, right? Like, I had this great plan, and then I ran into the driving, I ran into the driving school, right? So what does this passage want us to know? Because guess what? Mark shares this story. He shares this story with the intention to let you know that how we are called to see situations when they don't go the way that we want them to, right? Because the reality is you're probably here thinking of an exact situation. You're stewing right now. I'm even bringing it up, and you're feeling, oh, this pastor's making me mad. Like, I thought I was over it, and I'm not, right? Because there's probably something here that you know exactly what I'm talking about. And God wants, and what is that thing that God wants you to know here today? Well, it's very simple. It might be too simple. Jesus uses every situation to bring glory to the Father, regardless of what it is. Every situation. Even the one that he was handed, which he was unaware of or unexpectedly had to deal with. Jesus, he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to recap. But all of a sudden, now he has a bigger issue as these crowds of people start coming in. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Jesus has this situation. He looks out. He gets off that boat, and there is probably a good number of people. We'll talk about the number of people, but there is 5,000-plus people waiting for him as he gets off this boat, and now this is a completely, and I can just imagine the disciples are going, are you serious right now? But Jesus, he looks at the crowd and he has this great compassion for them. Things did not go the way that Jesus had planned, but the end result will be awesome. I use that word too much. But it will inspire awe and wonder, right? It will be amazing what's going to happen. And it came out as a result of Jesus looking at the situation and feeling a certain way. Take a look. He had compassion on them. So rather than frustration, rather than anger at the situation, like, he could have been angry. This was my plan. I haven't seen these guys in who knows how long. I just sent them out. I want to hear the report. But instead of getting frustrated, he looks out over the crowd and realizes that his Father has this amazing heartbeat for every single person on that hillside. And in fact, if you actually look at this, if you go to the Greek, it says that Jesus, it sounds weird, in the depths of his bowels, that's the Strong's concordance if you look it up. But what it means is, in the most inner and most intimate place of Jesus, he felt moved in that area for love for these people. Why? Because that's the heartbeat of the Father for his creation. And so here's Jesus seeing, not frustrated, not angry, but saying God's heartbeat has something to do with this. He actually puts God's heartbeat over all of the situation and then begins to plan accordingly and then begins to change accordingly, right? And how many of us are like, nope, not going to happen. You're not ruining my day. Nope, no, I'm not. I spent good money on that trip, whatever that might be. But you know what? If Jesus would have went and been like, forget it, and went on and said, come here, guys, we're going to find a new place, 5,000-plus people would never experience an amazing event, and we wouldn't have the story of God doing an amazing miracle. By the way, I can't even think about what that even looked like or experienced. And it came about as an unexpected result. How does that apply to us? There may be times that your plans are sidetracked, and God is using that sidetrack to bring about amazing things in other people's lives. And here's the question. If it impacted one person, would it be worth your derailment of plans? I hope so. I hope we wouldn't put ourselves on some pedestal where we'd be like, would we be willing to just be uncomfortable or waylaid if it meant to see somebody carry that spiritual torch down the road, or give their heart to Jesus, or see themselves satisfied or fed or healed, whatever it might look like. So I want us to refocus on how we see our situations, Because Jesus used every situation to bring glory to the Father. And he's calling us to do the same, even when it doesn't go as planned. He wasn't frustrated. In fact, he was filled with compassion. Are we able to change the way we view things in those moments? So I have a couple points. I have 3 points. I'll do my best to be brief about them. But what I want us to do is just hit pause there for a moment, because I guarantee there's a situation that you're thinking of today. I guarantee, I saw some eyes going across the room here. I guarantee there's something that is bothering you today that it didn't go the way that you expected. And I want us to bring that before the Holy Spirit so that we can maybe change our focus or our attitudes or our heartbeat about it. Let's do that now. Let's go before the Holy Spirit. Spirit, I ask that you would guide and lead us here today to change and refocus that which maybe we weren't expecting. Maybe something that's frustrating, maybe something that is downright hurtful, or we lost a good deal of money, or we lost a good deal of time, whatever it might be. Lord, today's a day where you need to allow us to see that you are using it for your good, and that every situation is an opportunity for us to experience and bring glory to the Father. And so, God, would you just bring that goodness through the power of your Spirit? Spirit, would you rest upon us today and begin to chip away at some of our frustration and anger and bitterness, whatever that might be, our frustration, to see what you want to do. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to share your word today and to share your heartbeat. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's get into it. All right, every situation is an opportunity to be taught. Every situation. So are we teachable today is what I want to know. Like, or are we not like, you ain't teaching me nothing today, Jesus. Nope. Like, or are we willing to be taught? Let's take a look. By this time, it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding villages. And he said, no, I want you give them something to eat. The feeding of the 5,000, the numbers are all over the place by the scholars. Something, 50, like J.D., 15,000? 15, he said 15,000. That seems pretty high. So we know that 5,000 men ate. If you add women and children, you're probably looking more like 7K, 8K, somewhere around there, depending. To give you an idea, now the question is, I need to give you guys a visual to kind of help you with that. So, this should be good, ready? So there's a local stadium near us that holds 7,100 people, and that is the Santan Arena out in Reading, right, Chris? Right? Home of the Reading Royals hockey team, right? This stadium, which is in Reading, holds 7,100, right? So to give you a better look at this, here's a snapshot from a concert. Oh, sorry, from a hockey game. Look at that. That is about 6,000, 6,500 people. Jesus shows up, and that's what he has on a hillside. Can you just imagine? That's what's going on. And he fed every single one of those people till they were satisfied and had 12 baskets left over. That's incredible. By the way, that's your God, by the way. That's your Jesus. In case you ever doubt his provision, that's your Jesus. So, take a look at this. Remember how hard it was to even feed the people at your wedding? can you imagine, like, trying to feed all those people? His answer is, no, you give them something to eat. As a foodie, like, how awesome is it that Jesus thinks of your stomach? I don't know. That's just me. Like, how amazing is it? Like, Jesus is like, these guys are hungry. The disciples, you know what they want to do? Send them away. Jesus, give them something to eat. Like, this is why I fell in love with Jesus right here. Like, this is the reason. Like, this is my Jesus. Like, some are all about the justice and, like Jesus coming back as, like, a warrior and, like, slaying all the things. Like, this is my Jesus right here. Like, taking naps, feeding people, being a cool dude. Like, this is amazing. This is it. The disciples' solution was make it go away. Jesus' solution, give them something to eat. How often do we take the easy way out and just say, you know what? It would be easier just to be done with this. Send them away. I don't want the problem. You already interrupted my day. Just get it out of here. Just be done with it. Jesus, instead, he refocuses and says, no, this is an opportunity to do something amazing. And so, this is great. By the way, I started talking about this. There's a difference between, in my opinion, between Southern hospitality and Northern hospitality, right? So I know we have some Southerners here, but like us Northerners, you know, when you come over someone's house, you ever notice the first thing they're going to ask you, hey, can I get you something to drink, right? That's usually the way it goes. Like, hey, what can I get you to drink? Now, they debunked this. I don't know. The Wallum said this isn't true. From what I've heard, and in my mind of Southern hospitality, you walk into someone's house, they're going to say, hey, can I get you something to see? It's, look, general consensus speaks that is true. Say, so, I don't know. Maybe you guys were doing it wrong. I did. No, Southern Living. No. .com. Anyway. I love to really get someone or know someone or impact somebody, like, you got to be able to connect with them. And Jesus finds a way to connect them by seeing the need that they have and feeding them. This is amazing. See, Jesus wanted a deeper connection. He wanted something deeper. The disciples, they said, make it go away because they've already ruined our day. Jesus said, I want to make a deeper connection with these people. There's something more profound than about my own needs, than about my own plans, or about my own frustrations. Jesus wanted this deeper connection. And so what's so frustrating is in the moment we get so, this situation already has ruined my day. I just want it gone. Rather than Jesus saying, hey, there's something deeper that you're missing here. And I want you to see that. I want you to feel it. I want you to see what I see, in the words of Jesus. And this is a teaching moment for the disciples. They had to be taught. They had, when he said, you give them something to eat, all of a sudden, they just came back. They're like, oh, this is great. We just came back. We saw some great things. And now they're put on the spot by Jesus. And he wants to see, can they live up to what he desires for them to do? They just had this great spiritual victory. They just came back. They're all on cloud nine. And now he wants them, this distraction, this waylaid plans. Is it an opportunity to get frustrated or is it an opportunity to learn? And Jesus desired that they learn. Today's the day where I want you to know that if you find yourself in that frustration, if you find yourself where things didn't go the way they wanted it to or the way that you wanted it to, it may be an opportunity that God may be desiring to teach you something here today. More reliance on him. That guess what? His ways are higher than our ways. You know what? That money means nothing in the kingdom. Watch as I bestow upon you an even greater blessing. Whatever that is for us today, I want us to understand that Jesus may be desiring to teach you something. That's number one. Every situation is an opportunity to be taught. Let's go to number two. Every situation is an opportunity to use what we've been given. They said to him, that would take more than a half a year's wages. Are we going to go and spend that much on bread to give it to these people? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see, and when they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. By the way, this is one of those events that happened in all four Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all recall the same story, which means that it was a pretty amazing event. And so John actually records it from a little bit different perspective. Take a look at what John says. There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? So there was this little boy who shows up. By the way, he's the only one who's prepared, by the way. What is Eagle Scout, bro! So this is the only kid who came prepared, right? Salted fish, right? Never knock a kid who knows what he's doing, right? Oh, my gosh. Everyone else ran ahead with no food. This kid's like, I got this, right? And, like, rather than being like, no, this is my lunch, dude. Like, this is what I'm eating. He's got this heartbeat to give it and to use it. By the way, in all honesty, Jesus didn't need a single thing to feed any of these people. You know why? Because he already proved that he could do it for 40 years by making it rain food. Jesus didn't need a single thing to give food. But this little boy had an opportunity to give what he had and to see an amazing turn of events. Jesus doesn't need much to do great things. It's a reality, right? He says just a faith the size of a mustard seed will grow into this amazing plant that will actually host birds and live there, right? He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go from here to go from there. Jesus doesn't require a lot. But what he asks is what we have, we give it. And we use it to his glory. Matthew records this, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly lose their reward. Jesus is all about us giving to others and saying, hey, what I have can be used to his glory. Even situations that we did not expect or plan for. I read a story about two guys walking down the shore. There's like an old man at sunrise. Did you guys ever like walk the shore? Anybody go to like a beach house or whatever and like you get up early and you want to walk the beach and everything? So there's this old man walking the beach and there's a young man there picking up these starfish and like throwing them back into the ocean, right? And this old man, and by the way, this is one of those like early mornings where like there's just, I mean, miles of starfish that, by the way, if by the morning sun, they'll be dried out and they'll be killed, right? And so this young man is throwing, and the old man comes up to him and says, what are you doing? Don't you know, like, you're not going to make an impact on the miles of starfish. Like, why do you do this? And he picks up a starfish, and he says, because it matters to this one. And he throws it back into the ocean. We have an opportunity to use what we've been given, and even in situations and times that are frustrating, we're called to maybe not impact the world, but maybe it may not make the world of difference in the long scheme of things, but there's an opportunity. It may make the world of difference in someone's life when we use what we've been given, even our time, even our frustrations, even our waylaid plans, even our times when we don't see God moving in certain situations. It may have an opportunity to impact someone for the better. Or maybe we've been given something that we can use to God's glory. And in the long scheme of things, it might only be X. But in the reality, it might make a difference. I guarantee you every single person walked away from that encounter with Jesus, they were never the same. 5,000, 7,000, whoever, however many it was, walked away having a moment with Jesus, and it was amazing. All because one little boy said, here's what I have. Rather than holding on to it, oh, wait, no, my plan was to eat my lunch. Like, sorry, you didn't come prepared. That's not my problem, right? No, saying, I'm going to give you what I have, and I want you to use it, Jesus, for the betterment of everybody here. What we have been given can bless someone beyond its own value. And so whatever that is, whatever that might be, whatever the heartbeat here is between that little boy and Jesus, I want us to focus in on. So what is that for you? Are we learning today? Are we using what we've been given? And lastly, every situation is an opportunity to see God as the provider. Let's get into the final portion. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of fish, and the number of men who were eaten were 5,000. But what an amazing spectacle of God. I've always wondered how it worked. Does anybody else think like that? Like, did he actually, like, break the fish and then, whoop, like, a new fish grew? Was he in the basket so that you didn't see? I want to know how it happened. Did he just, like, break and then, like, something weird happened, like a glitch in the system or something? You're like, wait, what was that? And he just did it over. I don't know how it worked, but it doesn't matter. 5,000 plus people ate till they were satisfied that day. And they had 12 baskets left over. That is a miracle. This is one of the most amazing miracles of all the scripture records. And guess what? It almost didn't happen because the disciples wanted to do something else. This is incredible. The disciples, they would have gotten alone and they would have gotten their attaboy, right? Great job. Like, you did such a good job. Like, Jesus, man, you're great. And what would have been missed is one of the most amazing spectacles of God's provision for his people. That God always provides. That God is sitting here. They're like, make them go away. And Jesus says, that doesn't solve the problem. Let's take care of the issue. Let's feed them. Jesus used this as an opportunity to show his great provision for his people. Every situation even the times when we're frustrated are times that we can say God is going to use this. He's going to provide. Even when it maybe hurts us or our wallet, hurts our time, hurts our relationship, whatever it might be, Jesus wants to use it to provide that, to prove that he's the provider, right? Change our focus. Get ourselves out of how we see ourselves. These are the times that we need to change our thinking. God will always provide for you. If you miss anything from this sermon, or you get anything from this sermon, or you miss it, don't miss this. God will always provide for you. Oh, it's a biblical fact. It is a fact that God will provide for you. What you need, the jet skis aren't coming, all right? But food, clothing, and shelter are guarantees. God will provide. He does provide to those who ask. We are people that are called to live this out and have security in this, that God will always move for our betterment to the glory of his kingdom. That might not mean we have all the lives, all the luxuries that we think, but we will have everything that we need. Bad times and disappointments, we will have comfort. Situations that bring us to a place, to our knees, we will have a God that will raise our head. God will always provide. It's a fact, a biblical fact. So, he uses every situation to prove that he is a provider, that he will provide for you. Amazing. 12 baskets left over. Let's close this. So, if you ever had something that didn't go as planned, that is great news. If you're here being like, you have no, I'm going to strangle you today. Like, that is great news because it is an opportunity for you to see three things. That he wants to teach you today. That he wants to prove that you have things and opportunities and gifts that he wants to use even in the time that is frustrating. And lastly, that he is providing even in the midst of something that maybe is unpleasant or is not the way it's going as planned. For us, would we be willing, and here's the thing, were the disciples unhappy, and that this we don't get this answer biblically, were the disciples unhappy they didn't get to get alone with Jesus when 5,000 people experienced the goodness of God? Are we comfortable with the idea that if we knew that what we experience and go through would bring glory to God, are we okay with it? Can we be okay with it? Can we put our own agenda on the shelf to see God's glory? I hope your answer is yes. And maybe that means being taught. Maybe that means being reminded of how God will use this to provide for you. Or maybe that's saying, wow, I have so much. How can I use that to bless others around me? Let's spend a moment before Jesus here and ask him, if any of these points land, I want you just to make a moment here with the Holy Spirit, to make a commitment with him, to like solidify this time and sanctify this time as a moment where Jesus wants to allow us to walk out these doors with something. You came here today for a reason. I want you to leave with something that God wants you to know here today. Let's pray. Lord, today's a day where we get to use this as an opportunity. Lord, you did an amazing work. 5,000, 7,000 people, 8,000, 15, 10, who knows? It doesn't matter. It's a lot. But they're teaching us something here today. How can we be used of and by you? How can we see your glory? How can we maybe see our plans, our frustrations a little differently? So, Lord, I know my friends are thinking of something. They have something in their mind. They have a situation that's frustrating, and they're going to come out to me and say, Matt, you don't know. You have no idea what I'm going through, and you're absolutely right. But I know that, Lord, you are bigger than me, and you are smarter than me, and you want to use your glory to the lives of my friends. And so lead us today in whatever that might be. To be taught, to be used, to not be frustrated, to maybe rest in the fact that you will provide regardless of how frustrating it is. Lead us today in this. Let us take home something from here today. Thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you for your word that we have together to share and to lift up your name. Bless my friends. Solidify a work today. Solidify any frustrations or heartaches or situations that might just be walked in with. Let us leave with a different view. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.